down the coast there, about 130 million years ago, there was a series of lagoons or tidal flats, which the dinosaurs exploited more or less as a highway. Moving up and down the coast, you know, it was wide open, no predators, flat, no obstacles to impede them. And they used it more or less as a highway, moving up and down the coast and turning inland whenever, you know, they came across a patch of vegetation to feed on. The dinosaurs in question were big animals. They're sauropods, the biggest animals, in fact, ever to walk on the Earth. How big, no one is really sure. The estimates range from about 30, 60 tons, maybe more. No one's really sure. But they're big animals. And what I found along the coast there, north of Broome, was that these big animals left big disturbances in their wake. They deformed the ground under their feet to a massive scale that no one's ever noticed before, no one's ever really looked before, subsurface. I've come out with some really startling discoveries, that the ground underneath these animals as they walked along collapsed, folded into enormous basins and channels, sometimes 20 metres long, 25 metres long. What's interesting about James Price Point in particular is that it seems to be a major intersection on that dinosaur highway. You've got these big channels with lots of dinosaur tracks all running in parallel, overlapping each other. And it seems to be a point where big groups of sauropods, sauropod dinosaurs, would turn off and move inland to their feeding grounds, presumably, and then come out again. It's sort of the same major intersection or turning point. So if you stand on the cliff top at James Price Point and look out, what you're actually seeing is the early Cretaceous landscape, more or less as it was 130 million years ago. All the channels filled with water are the big troughs and thoroughfares that were trampled down by big groups of dinosaurs moving along. And all the ridges are the areas that they didn't tread on. The small dinosaur tracks up there, they were obviously avoiding the traffic, I think, of the big heavy animals. But the big channels are real features in the landscape.
So you're saying that the intertidal area at James Price Point is a landscape that was shaped by dinosaurs.
Yep, by dinosaur traffic.
You are an expert in the field, but can you explain how you can tell that? I mean, many people look at that intertidal area and at the James Price Point landscape and describe it variously as beautiful to unremarkable.
Yeah, it looks like a pile of rubble. I know. As I say, if you look at the pictures in my article. And anyone can, it's on open access, you just log in and it's free for anyone to look at. I've explained it step by step in pictures so that you can understand exactly what you are looking at.
The area, James Price Point, has become highly politicised since it was chosen as the spot for a planned gas processing precinct. It's divided the community on political grounds, and it certainly, since that has happened, a number of special values have been attributed to the area, from importance for whale breeding, a site for bilbies, turtles, Aboriginal heritage. I'm not questioning any one of those things, but some people might be starting to get cynical about the incredible values being particularly attributed to this area. For you professionally, does James Price Point particularly stand out on its scientific values, as far as dinosaur footprints tell us?
Yeah, can I say this before I say any more? I'm not involved in that dispute. I've stayed out of it totally, not on one side or the other. To say originally, I'm basically a geologist. I'm all in favour of exploiting mineral resources. At the same time, I'm interested in dinosaurs, and I like to, you know, conserve stuff that is really important. So I'm not on either side. But what you're looking at there is important. I've said in my article, I think it's the only place on Earth where you can actually see an ancient landscape that has been moulded on that scale by the coming and going dinosaurs every day. I think it's the only site on the planet. I think it's worth saving. And I've explained my interpretation in that article, and I've tried to do it with pictures as well as words, and I put it in a journal online that's open access so that the public can look for themselves, they can log in, see for themselves what's at stake.
What's the process of getting published in this journal? Did this have to... Was it peer-reviewed? Were there experts in your field that have checked this?
Absolutely. It's pretty severe peer review. Don't worry. It is a good top-line journal. PLOS, that's all you need to get into it.
Now, in that paper that you've published, you do say that in the context of the entire Dampier Peninsula, the broom sandstone in which these prints and signs of dinosaur activity occur is widespread over 200 kilometres, and that prints within that are ephemeral due to erosion and covering and uncovering from the movement of sediments.
That's right.
Does that suggest that perhaps the loss of some of this area through industry or development perhaps wouldn't be so critical, considering the natural process reveals and removes these prints itself?
Well, 200 kilometres, that's from roughly from about Roebuck Bay up to Cape Levesque. It isn't one continuous rock exposure. There are long sandy beaches and no rocks visible at all. So the rocks are only at certain spots along the way. It's not a continuous exposure. Okay? So you only get the tracks where the rocks are exposed, and those are isolated spots along the coast. It's not a continuous trackway sequence. Second, yes, there is a turnover through erosion and storms and cyclones. Some footprints get destroyed, new ones get uncovered all the time. But that's a natural process. I don't think it's legitimate to pick out what you think are the best ones, stick them in a museum, claim that you've got a representative selection. And I'll say that because my article emphasises this point, that the grotty-looking footprints, the broken, damaged, weathered ones, are just as important scientifically, or even more important, than the nice-looking ones that you'd pick up and put in a museum. And that's what my article demonstrates, because it's focused specifically on the grotty-looking ones, and it's come out with discoveries that no one has ever seen before.